Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us and that we are not left to simply try and work you out for ourselves. We thank you for giving us a clear testimony in your word. And we pray now that as we consider truth from your word, you might build us up and strengthen us in your Son. And we pray for his sake. Amen. Do sit down. I saw a video recently where someone had done some research and contacted 3,500 people from all around the world and had asked people to make a small video of their response to the question, what do you believe in? Well, just the first minute of that video revealed that people have many different beliefs that involve a divine being of some sort. Other beliefs have no room for a God at all. Some beliefs are simply an undefined aspiration for a better life. And of course, there are many different political beliefs, philosophical beliefs, many different ways of viewing the world in which we live. Some seemingly positive, others somewhat benign, others even rather dark. Well, you might have heard public figures wanting to be inclusive, using the phrase, all faiths and none. But actually, when you examine that idea, it is rather confusing because in truth, everyone has faith in something. Everyone is a believer of a sort. Everyone has a worldview. The question then is, what or whom are you putting your faith in? What sort of belief is it? Now, as we've been training over the last couple of weeks or so, we're beginning a new sermon series this morning, looking at the clauses of the statement of Bible-based truths that we've in fact just said and regularly say in our service, the so-called Nicene Creed. Now, the term creed comes from the Latin word for belief. What we say in the Nicene Creed is what we believe. It is a profession of faith. Now, the idea of creeds is rooted in the Bible itself, where we have preserved statements that are almost certainly early professions of belief, possibly used when Christians met together in the early years, and we plan to look at some of those as we go through the creed. What's more, the apostles speak of the things of first importance and then list significant parts of Jesus' life and work. They also speak of the pattern of sound teaching, giving shape to realities and boundaries across which dangerous false teaching can be recognized and avoided. Now, what we might call these New Testament creeds in turn reflect what we find in the Old Testament, where there are passages which rehearse the mighty acts of God and celebrate the character of God. There are several examples of these, especially in the Psalms. Now, the so-called Nicene Creed itself dates from the 300s AD, when key church leaders met together at a couple of councils, one in Nicaea, hence the Nicene Creed, and one in Constantinople. Both these places are in what we would now call Turkey. Now, the idea of these councils was to find a way to truthfully express what the Bible reveals about God, and especially about Jesus and the Holy Spirit and their relationship to God the Father. That God is one God, but one God in three persons. Now, this was particularly vital then because there was much seductive false teaching around, denying the godness of Jesus. And it was a great threat to the gospel and the church that the gospel creates. The summary of Bible truth, the profession of faith that was put together, was a great benefit and safeguard for Christians then, and it has been ever since. Now, of course, creeds themselves are not God's word, but they are summaries of God's word. Indeed, our own Anglican 39 articles in the back of the Book of Common Prayer, the official basis of Church of England belief, says in number 8, Article 8, the three creeds, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasius Creed, and that which is commonly called the Apostles' Creed, ought thoroughly to be received and believed, for they may be proved by most certain warrants of Holy Scripture. So the creeds, as we hope to see over these coming weeks running up to Christmas, are based on Bible truths and are derived from what God has revealed in His Word, and as such, they are very useful and helpful. And it's because of its Bible-based nature that we can learn from, be strengthened by, and affirm the truths that the Nicene Creed contains. Now, famously, the Nicene Creed begins, "I or we believe." Now, the word "believe" is connected to the word "faith," a term that is at the core of the letter to the Romans that we read from a few moments ago. And if you want to have that passage open, Romans chapter 10, it's on page 1140 of the Church Bibles. Romans chapter 10. Now, in this letter, the Apostle Paul outlines the great gospel realities that God is the true God who has made human beings and that we are made to relate to Him, but that we have also fallen short of His ways and sinned. We have made created things our gods rather than the rightful true Creator Himself. And as a result, we provoke His perfectly righteous anger or wrath and deserve His judgment. And yet, wonderfully, God has provided a way through Jesus to bring people back to Himself. Jesus, God the Eternal Son, died on the cross as a propitiation for sin, absorbing in Himself God's just justice and wrath, that others might be justified. In other words, that sinful people might be declared not guilty, and as Romans 10 verse 5 puts it, made righteous, pure, and acceptable to God. Now, this great gift, the unrighteous being righteously made righteous, is not something that's earned by religious devotion or good behavior, but rather it's based on what God has done in Jesus. And it is received by faith. So Paul explains in Romans 10 that just as when Moses gave the Old Testament people God's message, they were able to hear it and receive it, so the good news of Jesus is available and accessible to us. Verse 6, but the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. See, we don't need to, as it were, climb a ladder up to heaven to find God, or drill down to the depths. We're not left to grope around in the dark, having no idea of what's true and what is real. No, God has come to us in Jesus, who died and rose again. And He offers us His gift of righteousness. Indeed, the righteousness based on faith, says verse 8, the word is near you, in your mouth and on your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. The message of the good news of Jesus, made known to us by the apostles in the pages of the New Testament, is the word of faith, the message of Jesus, which calls us to put our faith in Him. Now, what Jesus has done only benefits those who do believe in Him, those who put their confidence in what He has done, those who take hold of what He offers, those who receive what He gives. And this is not something that's deserved, but rather it is a free gift that justly justifies the otherwise unjust before God. Now, what Paul goes on to say helps us to see not only the centrality of faith in Jesus as the key to human beings receiving His love and grace, but also the importance of confessing declaring, holding out the truth. So Paul adds in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now here is one of those early New Testament creeds that I mentioned earlier. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is in charge. Jesus is King. Jesus is truly God. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, being and living as a Christian involves not just inward belief in our hearts, but also outward confession with the mouth. Both are needed. Just to speak of the reality of Jesus being God without believing in him gets us nowhere. And believing in the crucified and risen Jesus without speaking of it makes it all look rather empty. But when both are present, much is gained. Verse 10. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. See, God has done all that's needed through Jesus in his death and resurrection to justify the otherwise guilty, sinful person and to bring to lost people salvation or rescue from our sins. Internal faith, grasping hold of what God offers and relying on what Jesus has done, and public profession of faith, confession of Christ and his truth, are the ways that we receive these great gifts of justification and salvation. Now it's true, isn't it, that very often, or at least at times, we feel short of faith. Either we realise that we've never really believed in Jesus and what he has done, or, as is surely true of us all from time to time, we feel our faith is frail. How then does faith grow? How is faith strengthened? Well, you might remember that incident in Mark's Gospel that we read of the father of the boy. And his example is a good one. In his extremely challenging situation, he cries out to Jesus, Mark 9, verse 24, I believe, help overcome my unbelief. I do believe, but I need your grace to believe. And that's a great prayer that we can use too. And Romans 10 here in front of us also points us to an important principle in this matter. After explaining the importance of faith and confession, Paul speaks of the importance of enabling others to be aware of the message of Jesus. God is concerned for all kinds of people. In Romans 10 here, particularly the idea that God is concerned for those from a Jewish and from a non-Jewish Gentile background. So verse 11, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. But there's a practical problem. Verse 14, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him when they have not heard of him? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, even if, verse 16, they have not all obeyed the gospel. As Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So there is a need then, in the phrase that we used for our faith-sharing course that Adam led recently, to go forth and tell of Jesus. And that is the task of all of us together as his church. And it's especially important because there is this link between encountering the truth of Jesus in the gospel and faith, believing. Verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You see, faith is not something that we conjure up within ourselves, some sort of self-induced emotion. And faith is not something that we create that somehow makes us virtuous. No, faith is actually a gift from God. And in his sovereign purposes, faith is given. And faith grows when we hear the word of Christ. When we read or listen to God's gospel word from the Bible. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of Christ. And this is a reminder that as a church, we must seek to share the good news with others. And that when we do so, including in our public events, there must be real content about Jesus if people are to believe. It's very easy to think that we should just simply be, as it were, nice and pleasant and not really speak too much about that which is challenging in the gospel and that people might then believe. But actually, faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So we must share his word. And when we do, some will believe. We need to encourage one another to hold our nerve. Well, this truth points us yet again to the importance of us as believers hearing from God in the Bible, including when we meet together. It also underlines the value of Bible-shaped prayers in our services and indeed Bible-shaped creeds, as we're thinking about. Confessing our faith, rehearsing the great truths about God as he has made himself known to us in the Bible is good for us. It can build our faith as well as train us and strengthen us in the truth so that we can tell truth from error and stand strong against false ideas that are around us as they were around those at the time the Nicene Creed was drawn together. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Well, as throughout history, human beings in our days have many different beliefs. Sometimes belief in a God of some sort, sometimes a secular faith of some sort. Now, as Christians, we know that the living God has made himself known to us in truth, challenging all beliefs in the process. And the Nicene Creed can help us to recognize the essential truths of the faith, and also it gives us encouragement that builds our faith. Now, when the Nicene Creed was first developed, it was written in Greek, and it began, would be translated, "We believe." Now, when it was later translated into Latin, "I believe" became the most commonly used translation. But actually, both of these are helpful because there's a vital sense in which what we profess is what we each individually believe. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit and so on. It's my profession of faith in the truth of God as he has made himself known. And yet, when we do this, we do it corporately as we gather together on Sundays. And you'll notice that the creed we use this morning has gone back to that idea of we believe. Because Christians are confessional people. We confess, we publicly make known, we believe that this is true. We believe, we say. This is our faith. This is what Christians throughout the world believe and have always believed. And we affirm it and encourage one another as well as ourselves personally. So the 16 or almost 1700-year-old Nicene Creed is a great resource as a summary to express the truth. It is a protection from error and a way that we can make known even to the wider world who the true God is and what he has done. As Romans 10 puts it, with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that in your mercy you have made yourself known to us. And we pray that as we consider these truths, you would indeed build our faith in you. We would see you more clearly. You would inspire us and fire our hearts. that we might be your people in this day, making you known. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.